Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 through 26. Now, in this first half of Jeremiah chapter 31, we have the prediction of the future restoration of both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Let's begin by reading the first five verses. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, that people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines, and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. Let's begin our study of this first half of Jeremiah 31 with some background notes. We saw in chapter 30 that even though there is a great time of tribulation coming in the future for Israel, called the time of Jacob's trouble, the good news is that Israel will be saved out of it. Look back once again at chapter 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. This time of Jacob's trouble we refer to as the future tribulation period, which will last for 7 years, according to Daniel's prophetic vision recorded in Daniel chapter 9. Out of this tribulation period will come a large godly remnant of Jews who will turn to the Lord Jesus as the Messiah whom they once rejected. They will receive Christ as their king when he returns. These saved Jewish people will constitute the restored nation of Israel when the Lord begins his reign over this whole world from the reestablished throne of David in Jerusalem. We saw in verse 3 of chapter 30 that this good news applied to both the house of Israel and the house of Judah. That is, both the northern kingdom of Israel that fell to the Assyrian forces in 722 BC and the southern kingdom of Judah that fell to the Babylonian forces in 586 BC. Now here in Jeremiah chapter 31, once again, the house of Israel and the house of Judah are differentiated. In fact, when we get to the new covenant in the second half of the chapter, we read in verse 31, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Here in the first half of the chapter, we have the restoration of the house of Israel, that is, the northern kingdom of Israel in verses 1 through 22, and the restoration of the house of Judah, that is, the southern kingdom of Judah in verses 23 through 26. Notice from verse 1, that the restoration of all the families of Israel will be at that time. That is the same time as the events of chapter 30, which we saw was the time of the future and the return of Christ. The fact that the house of Israel and the house of Judah are differentiated in this chapter emphasizes the fact that these prophecies of restoration refer to the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, not to Christians. The church has not replaced Israel, and the church is not the new Israel. No, Israel is Israel. And these prophecies of the restoration of the reunited house of Israel and house of Judah do not refer to the church, but to the literal descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that brings us now to our doctrinal points for this first half of Jeremiah chapter 31. Doctrinal point number one. In the future, the northern kingdom of Israel will be restored. In the future, the northern kingdom of Israel will be restored. The northern kingdom of Israel was also known as Ephraim, because Ephraim was such a large and major tribe of the northern kingdom. Notice how Ephraim is mentioned in verse 6, verse 9, verse 18, and verse 20. Now, verses 2 through 5 assures the house of Israel that just as sure as God delivered Israel from Egypt, so he would, with love, rebuild the house of Israel and bring them back with joy and dancing to the fertile hills of Samaria in northern Israel. Verse 6 indicates that they will go up to Jerusalem and to the millennial temple in order to celebrate the feast during the time of the earthly kingdom of our Lord. Verse 6, "For there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, 'Arise and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God.'" In verses 7 through 9, we see that the Lord will restore the house of Israel by bringing descendants of the so-called lost 10 tribes back from the remote parts of the earth. They will come with tears of repentance. Even the handicapped and women about to give birth will be tenderly led back home by the Lord. Verses 7 through 9. "For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." In verses 10 through 14, we see that all the nations will acknowledge the miracle of the return of Israel. The house of Israel will not only return to the land, but in that day they will be joyful and at peace and very prosperous. Let's read verses 10 through 14. "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, 'He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them, and will make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will fill to the full the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord." Verses 10 through 14. In verses 15 through 17, the Lord refers to northern Israel as Rachel, because she was the mother of Joseph, and Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, were major tribes in the northern house of Israel. Rachel is seen weeping for her children because of the great loss at the time of the Assyrian conquest of the north. But Rachel will be comforted in the future when the house of Israel returns and is restored. Let's read verses 15 through 17. "Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, a lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border." Verses 15 through 17. Verse 15, by the way, is shown by Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, to be fulfilled as a type when the mothers of Bethlehem wept for their children killed by King Herod. You remember that? I'm reading Matthew chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." In verses 18 through 20 of Jeremiah chapter 31, we see the Lord responding in grace to Ephraim's prayers of repentance. Verses 18 through 20. "I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have chastised me, and I was chastised, like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return, for you are the Lord my God. Surely after my turning, I repented, and after I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Verses 18 through 20. In verses 21 and 22, the house of Israel is seen returning from their years of wandering to the towns and cities of northern Israel for the Lord's earthly kingdom. Verses 21 and 22. Set up signposts, make landmarks, set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O virgin of Israel, turn back to these your cities. How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? Verses 21 and the first part of verse 22. Now the end of verse 22 may be the hardest verse in the book of Jeremiah to interpret. For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. I've read at least seven different interpretations of this verse. The woman may represent Israel, who as a nation will finally come to embrace the Lord. On the other hand, it may be just a proverb, meaning things will be so amazingly different when the Lord establishes his kingdom here on this earth. But one thing is sure. In the future, the northern kingdom of Israel will be restored. Doctrinal point number two. In the future, the southern kingdom of Judah will be restored. In the future, the southern kingdom of Judah will be restored. Verses 23 through 25. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, they shall again use this speech in the land of Judah and in its cities when I bring back their captivity. The Lord bless you, O home of justice and mountain of holiness, and there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all its cities together, farmers and those going out with flocks. For I have fully satisfied the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Verses 23 through 25. In these verses, when interpreted literally, we see that the land of Judah and her cities and the Temple Mount will be restored in righteousness and peace. These conditions were certainly not fully met when the Jewish people returned from their Babylonian captivity. That was only a foretaste of what's to come in the future. And we don't believe these verses should be spiritualized so that the restored land and cities of Judah and the holy hill of Jerusalem somehow become blessings within the church today. No, in the future, the southern kingdom of Judah will be restored. Let's move now to practical application for this first half of Jeremiah 31. Learn the secret of a good night's rest. Learn the secret of a good night's rest. Verse 26, after this I awoke and looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me. Jeremiah had received this encouraging prophetic revelation from the Lord while he was sleeping. Now he awoke feeling great after a good night's rest. Now we've all had that experience and wish it would happen more often, right? What's the secret? This verse gives us a key. Fill your mind with the wonderful things of God. Count your blessings, not sheep. Learn the secret of a good night's rest.